For WCYB Digital Radio, I'm Paul John Spaulding. Joining me is Sam White, our video producer, and Kyle Haglund, our senior audio engineer, to talk about video game industry news, including hacks and breaches. Guys, thank you both so much for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
TechCrunch reported recently that LinkedIn is trying to boost the time people spend on the platform, so it's trying to break more into gaming with puzzle gaming experiences similar to Wordle. Again, that's according to TechCrunch. Sam, your thoughts on this?
I mean, the mobile gaming market is massive. I think it's more massive than people realize. Like, it is the majority of video game profits, if you consider mobile games to be categorized as video games. I see these numbers here from Yahoo Finance. As per a Facts and Factors study, the global gaming market size was worth around $108 billion in 2022 and is predicted to grow to around $339 billion by 2030.
That's the total for all gaming.
For all mobile gaming.
That's just mobile gaming.
That's just mobile gaming.
Oh my gosh.
Insane.
Well, what I am curious about most is, Kyle, would this actually tempt you to spend more time on LinkedIn if they do have these addictive puzzler, word type, mobile gaming experiences? Would you actually, you know, spend more time on LinkedIn?
I got to be honest, I'm not that type of gamer. I love like first person shooters, stuff like that, online gaming with friends. I'm not a very big like mini game kind of guy. And especially for LinkedIn itself, for me, very specifically for me, it wouldn't have me spend any more time on the service just because I kind of feel like I lean more towards professional use for LinkedIn. But I know that there is plenty of people out there that I guarantee will now have a reason to play games at work because you're on LinkedIn. But if we're jumping back to Netflix, I did download when they released GTAs on Netflix. They released, I think, 3 Vice City and San Andreas. I downloaded Vice City on my phone and played it. I can't believe it. It's absolutely insane. And I think back to the days where I was a teen playing Vice City. I don't think I ever could have expected it to be available on my phone and for it to look just as good as it did back on my PlayStation. Like, it's kind of mind-blowing, and it only gets me more excited for the future of mobile gaming.
There's actually a lot that they released because it's Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, but it contains quite a bit. It's Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, San Andreas, which you mentioned. But really, those games are pretty well known. They're pretty big games. The GTA series is still very popular. So it's interesting that they went back there. You know, I don't know if that would win anybody over to actually maybe keep their subscription or someone else to get a subscription. What was the lasting power behind that? Did you continue playing the game, or did you kind of just, oh, that's fun, let me check it out, and then kind of uninstall and kind of put it in the back burner again?
Truthfully, I think I played maybe a week, thought it was really fun, but I just got a new computer. I have an Xbox. If I'm going to game, I'm probably going to be gaming at home. But I do think it opens up a world of opportunities for a lot of different people. In my mind, the first thing I jump to is people with lower income households that can't really afford to buy systems and games and Netflix subscriptions and everything on the rise in price. So for somebody that just wants a Netflix account, now they have Netflix to watch movies and television, and then they also are able to play games on the side, which I think is a really cool opportunity for people.
The only counter argument I'd have is, well, something like Counter-Strike, a free game, can run on a potato. Anybody could play it. Fortnite runs on your phone. Now, I suppose if you are really low income and you don't have access to even a somewhat new computer, you might not also have access to a new phone. You might have a basic smartphone. I don't know if it'd be powerful enough to run Fortnite. I haven't played Fortnite on my phone personally, but I guess it is an interesting proposition because probably GTA 3, Vice City, San Andreas are going to run on anything, I would assume. Kyle, I was wondering on that point, do you know if it's a streamed game or does it actually locally download to your phone?
It actually locally downloads to your phone. And just so you know, that's a factoid. I have my iPhone on airplane mode and I just opened up the game to be 100% sure.
Interesting. Something I did want to put some context around is this idea of social gaming, social media-esque LinkedIn, Facebook-type gaming, because Microsoft recently purchased Activision Blizzard, which also means they acquired King, which develops Candy Crush, Candy Crush Soda Saga, and Farm Hero Saga. Now, I found this thing in VentureBeat. Candy Crush Saga has $20 billion in revenue total. That's over its whole lifetime. And all King games are currently being played by 238 million monthly active users. That's as of the second quarter of 2023. A little out of date, but still just these massive numbers, similar to how big the mobile market is, just in terms of revenue. So do you think there's a link between these two? Microsoft having LinkedIn, Microsoft now having this essentially mobile gaming company. Is that, you guys think, why they're making that push?
Well, from what it seems like they're going more in the direction for LinkedIn of the kind of like New York Times connections game, more like
crossword.
Yeah, exactly. Like a more mentally, intellectually stimulating kind of game rather than the Facebook era, which was the weird farming games that your aunt would spam you with for some reason. Join my farm. Send me coins.
Yeah, well, this is the mafia one.
The mafia one. They almost feel like scams. You're unsure. Like, why can I spend $100 on like gems?
And I guess it's like, does the professional veil of LinkedIn almost give these games more legitimacy, aside from the people maybe trying to play them while they're at work?
I think the major factor is whether or not these games will have microtransactions in them, because that would be a huge determining factor on whether or not it's more for like stimulate your brain at work versus empty your wallet on this chemically addicting game specifically designed to drain your serotonin.
Yeah, exactly. Like Microsoft's like a power hub of a company. It's absolutely insane. So, you know, if you're Microsoft and you just acquired this massive gaming company, what else are you going to do other than put it in everything else you own?
Yeah. I'm thinking of a strange future where LinkedIn Premium and Xbox Game Pass come together, bundled together. You can stream through LinkedIn or something. Look, that's just a joke. I really have no idea.
I just want to say one thing real quick. I think there's a huge difference between video games on mobile and mobile games. They just added a game I play a lot, Warframe. They just added a mobile version. I would not call that a mobile game. It's just a video game that you can play on mobile. Same thing with the game I've been playing, Balatro. They just announced a mobile version. It's a little card game that you can play, and it'd be perfect for a phone. When I think of mobile game, I really do think of a weird kind of free game that's like probably a scam. like in some way, they are scamming you out of more money than you should be spending.
I love that, because it's like, how long until both of what you just said combine and now yeah. Everything is just a game because our phones or whatever are just so powerful.
I mean, I'd say the perfect game for that is that game Genshin Impact. It was a mobile game that released on PC coinciding. I mean, the PC version is so much better to play, but it was designed as a mobile game that is playable on PC. So it was like mobile game first in a way, but you can play it on a PC or probably console, I'm not sure. It follows the mobile game formula. It's a free game, but you can spend real money to get characters and extreme gameplay advantages.
It's interesting you say this, Sam, because just as you guys were talking, I was Googling just to see what are the other, if any, games available on Netflix, right? Because we were just talking about GTA kind of being a heavy hitter here. So this is according to Netflix.com. Netflix members have access to more than 80 exclusive mobile games with no ads, no extra fees, and no in-app purchases. These games are free and easy to download from Android, iPhone, iPad, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just scrolling down here. Hades is one of the games. I mean, that's an incredible game. That's been out for a few years now, but Google any list of the best roguelites, that's at the top always. Some games I don't recognize here, Into the Dead 2, I don't know if you guys have played that, Layla's Horizon, Moonlighter, which I've heard of as well, Rainbow Six Small. I don't know what that'll be about, but that looks kind of fun. Death's Door, High Water. I mean, yeah, you could go down the list.
It seems like Netflix is trying to get regular games on mobile.
Yeah.
Video games on mobile, not mobile games on their platform.
Yeah, please do Netflix, because I want to have a reason for paying what we do for Netflix.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting contrast in the future to see those Wordle-like games, as we were talking about earlier for LinkedIn, contrasted with Netflix basically licensing these legit games that you can just simply play on your phone, but they're legitimate games. You would play them just as easily anywhere on your computer, Xbox, PlayStation, whatever. Before we go, any final thoughts?
I looked at it before. I think Netflix is investing in game streaming as well as, have to assume, physical downloads. But I'm thinking about the TV that just has Netflix pre-installed in it. That probably doesn't have enough space to install Hades. Hades is probably like 6-12 gigabytes. Like a Fire Stick, I don't think, has more than like 32 gigs.
It almost feels like Netflix might be going back into the hardware section that they escaped from.
Yeah, so I'd imagine there's some combo there going on. Because I think the idea with game streaming too, I think is awesome because there's a lot of services like NVIDIA GeForce Now. I've used that a ton while traveling because I can play games on my Mac that are Windows exclusives because I'm streaming from an NVIDIA computer at NVIDIA from my Steam library. So I think if Netflix goes that route, it'll be awesome for people because even kids can play games through their parents' Netflix subscription, just stream it straight to their TV. I would assume you'd have to connect a controller or maybe the remote turns into a controller. I don't know how that would work.
Give it 10 years. They're going to release a controller that has memory built into it. Be like $50 to $100 and then you get to enjoy it. But it makes me think of, do you guys remember when Netflix first announced their games? And I think it came directly after or before they released the Bandersnatch. Do you remember the Bandersnatch? Mm-hmm. Black Mirror. Yeah, where you got to make choices and then that would lead to other choices, which like, you know, you go back to the earliest days of gaming. What was the one where you go out west?
Oregon Trail,
which is exactly that. You made choices that led to other choices that led to choices. So, you know, it's almost like that was their first venture into the video game section.
It'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds, as you guys say, both from the hardware perspective as well as the software, as well as what games will actually be on all these different platforms. So we'll be following this and come back on with another episode when there's something else to report on.
I'll leave you off with this. Do you guys remember Flappy Bird?
Of course.
Who doesn't?
So the creator eventually had to take it down because he was getting harassment from how difficult that game was. Guess where it is now an exclusive? The Amazon Fire Stick.
No way.
If you search Flappy Bird on your Fire Stick, you'll find it there. And it sucks too. It's like laggy. It's like you can't even like click it right. So what's the point? But yeah, that's my fun mobile fact.
Kyle, Sam, as always, thank you both so much for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
For Cybercrime Radio, I'm Paul John Spaulding. Joining me was Sam White, our video producer, and Kyle Haglund, our senior audio engineer. To follow more of our media, visit cybersecurityventures.com.